AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And there you heard it. We are off and running on another week. Harvest should be in high gear, and both the House and the Senate are back in session. Should be an exciting week. Corn right now slightly higher, but wheat and the soy complex are mixed. Live cattle under pressure, and lean hogs are slightly lower.
Live from the opening kickoff of the week via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with Machinery Pete, Greg Peterson. Then it's a chat with U.S. Senator Charles Grassley. Right after the news, a weather update from the good folks at BAM WX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis. Yeah, we've got a gorgeous day going in the middle of the country right now. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was beautiful yesterday as well. My gosh, got a lot of stuff done around the yard.
Me too.
Around the yard yesterday. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. So the I've got ash trees, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My leaves every year fall earlier than the neighbor's maple trees, okay?
Okay.
So my yard was packed with leaves, and I think we talked last time. I wasn't going to rake them because I knew there were more coming. The neighbor mowed on Saturday. His lawn looked gorgeous, beautiful. not a leaf on the entire lawn.
Right.
Right.
Neighborhood peer
raked.
Pressure.
Yes, I broke down and raked my lawn. It was,
oh,
and then I thought, you know what?
I set the
deck on the mower one notch lower.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
I'm thinking maybe this was the last mow. Maybe.
You might want to let it recover from that this time. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that it might make it your last mow. Absolutely. Welcome
to
AgriTalk.
I didn't trailer it up and take it back to the farm. But
that is Davis.
Yes,
and
sir.
We are off and running on another week. Looking forward to the conversation with Senator Grassley coming up in the next segment. A couple of things that I want to talk about with the senator. There's some movement on Proposition 12 and the EATS bill or plan that Senator Grassley is pushing forward. And it was just last week that he testified in front of the House Ag Committee on what's happening in the cattle market. We'll find out how that went from Senator Grassley. And we'll get a status update on his 5014 proposal that he's got in the Senate with Senator Tester. So a lot of ground that we've got to cover with Senator Grassley. And, of course, then we will have Machinery Pete at the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to it. All right, let's get to it. What you got?
Well, Chip, traders are betting that the U.S. oil benchmark will surge above $100 a barrel from a recent $82 as early as December. West Texas Intermediate, or WTI, crude is up 10% this month and 70% this year, but it has not hit $100 since the oil crash of 2014 this morning. Let's see, I think we were up just, 38 cents in the Nove, up 34 cents in the D's front month at 82.66 this morning. Quickly, Nat Gas down another, call it 20 cents, 5.22 in the front.
Right. Yeah, and I don't think that anybody is comfortable or convinced that this market is done moving to the upside. You know, again, going back to all the conversation about why the price of the pump is so high, you only have to look one place, and that's $82 front month crude.
Well, the impending closure of California's fossil fuel power plants and a nuclear facility has the state racing to secure large amounts of power. State energy officials are concerned that purchases may not be enough to prevent power shortages in coming summers.
Won't be. You better have backup plans B, C, D. Take it all the way out to, I don't know, but you better have backup plans if you're going to be going away from the fossil fuel and the plans that you've already got in place.
Well, President Biden conceded Friday that his economic plan will not pass Congress with $3.5 trillion in new spending over a decade. That's the level sought by progressives. But he again declared that the legislation will become law. The White House and Democratic congressional leaders are discussing how to scale back the larger social spending measure, West Virginia's Joe Manchin has said he wants a top line of no more than $1.5 trillion over 10 years for the legislation.
We'll get an update from Senator Grassley on that in the next segment.
China's economic growth slowed sharply in the third quarter. Gross domestic product grew 4.9% from a year earlier versus a 7.9% gain in the second quarter. The weaker-than-expected GDP growth reflects several factors, Chip. They include pared-back stimulus policies, a crackdown on the technology, private education, and real estate sectors, power shortages and disruptions to the supply chain, semiconductor shortages, and port shutdowns. I'm sure everything's fine, though. Everything's fine.
Kind of sounds familiar.
It does a little bit. China produced 12 million metric tons of pork in the third quarter. That's up 43% from last year and the highest output for that quarter in 3 years. China's September wheat imports declined 40.4% from a year ago as elevated international prices and falling domestic corn prices curbed demand. Well, globally, there are now 584 container ships stuck outside ports, nearly double the number at the start of the year, according to real-time data from one of the world's largest freight forwarders. Russia said one of its warships intercepted a U.S. destroyer in the Sea of Japan that was encroaching on its territorial waters, claiming the vessel came within 60 meters of each other during the confrontation, something Washington said was false. The U.S. military said the guided missile destroyer Chaffee was conducting routine operations. And, Chip, this is good news. A strike that would have disrupted TV and movie production nationwide has been avoided at the 11th hour. Over the weekend, a three-year deal was struck between the people that make TV and the people that pay them to do so. Chip.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. Good morning, Michael. How are you, sir?
Hey, good, Chip. How are you doing?
Doing real fine. A great start to a week here at the in the middle of October, pointing to a lot of harvest activity, huh?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we're looking at kind of, you know, if you look up to the north central plains and over here into the eastern corn belt, it's very wet, Chip. And some places here running 200 to 350% of the normal rainfall. So we really need some dry conditions coming up, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, are we going to get them?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had better news there. Our forecast into next week calls for the pattern to get a lot more active, and I think we're getting into a period where just about every 5 to 7 days over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at storm systems. So, unfortunately, I don't see any prolonged periods of drier weather in the near future.
Okay. You know, I know that we've got cooler temperatures, but they're still above normal temperatures, and are these going to stick around?
Those will hang around for quite some time. I mean, we'll have intermittent shots of colder air for 2 or 3 days, but a lot of places are running behind on their first frost and freeze. And I see overall warm temperatures in through mid-November. I don't see any big changes until probably closer to Thanksgiving.
Man, I tell you what, with energy prices doing what they're doing, that'll be a relief. What else are you watching out there that we need to watch for, Michael?
The big thing I'm watching is a pretty sudden flip to colder temperatures late November, December. I think that winter can flip a switch pretty quickly, and I think we need to watch around Thanksgiving or so for that to happen. I think it'll be a big deal for those energy markets.
Okay. All right, very good. Well, that means I'll have to stack up another stack of wood outside the door because I don't want to pay that LP price. Not right now. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. Okay, when we come back, we'll have a conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa right here on AgriTalk.
For 20 years, the Milk Business Conference has brought together the most progressive dairy operations. Make sure you're there for 2.5 days of content to positively affect the profitability of your dairy. It will be held at a new location November 30th to December 2nd, 2021, in person at the Paris Las Vegas Hotel and Casino. Put your strengths to work as we continue to navigate this ever-evolving industry. View the agenda and register now at www.milkbusinessconference.com.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We'll get to Machine Repeat at the bottom of the hour, but now we have a conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa. Senator Grassley, welcome back to AgriTalk.
Glad to be with you. We're in the middle of harvest in Iowa.
Yes, absolutely. I want to get to that in a moment, but first I think we need to start with some sad news. I'd like to get your reaction to the passing of former Secretary of State Colin Powell.
Well, I don't know whether he was the first African-American to be a four-star general, but if he wasn't, he was one of the first ones,
yeah,
which is a great accomplishment. And then to be in the White House, Secretary of State, and all these important decisions, he is an outstanding leader and a person that was very loyal to whatever president he served under as military or as Secretary of State, and just an outstanding individual that I'm just sorry I didn't know better, but I did have some interactions with him, so I feel like I know him more than I do a lot of four-star generals. And yeah, to have him die of COVID he probably had the best of medical help that anybody yeah could have is quite a surprise.
Yes, yes, it certainly is. He was a leader at a time that the country needed a leader, and I think there's a lot of people that are going to be mourning his passing. There's no question about that. Okay, happier things. You did get to spend a little time in the combine cab this weekend, didn't you?
Yes, I did, and it happens that we got rain in August, which really helped the beans, but not much rain in July. And Butler County and Bremer County and Floyd County, they're in the area that's the most extreme drought. So our corn is somewhat disappointing.
Okay. All right.
By the way, we got half of our beans combined 2 weeks ago, and the stems were still green until lately, and so just maybe now finishing up combining of beans. But yesterday when I left the farm to go to Des Moines to go to the airport, I saw a lot of combining of beans going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is going to be a very, very active week. Everybody, be safe out there. Don't take any shortcuts this week in what's going to be the most active week. Another thing that happened over the weekend, Senator, did you get a briefing on the missile test that China conducted over the weekend?
No, I did not, but I've only been in the office for 4 hours.
Okay. That's kind of a scary situation there. That's next level nuclear capabilities, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything like this in this day and age, particularly in some of the countries where you got crazy people running the country, it is very dangerous. Got to be taken very seriously.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. A couple of ag issues that I want to get to. Let's start with California's Proposition 12. Two questions on this. What are the chances that it's actually going to be implemented at the start of 2022? Because we don't even have the final rules yet. And what's the EATS plan that you are supporting?
Well, I can't speak for what the state of California is going to do, but I know that California is very aggressive in trying to change animal agriculture. So you ought to expect the worst from California. And the legislation that you're asking me about would come under Congress's power to regulate interstate and foreign commerce. And when a third of the hogs raised in the United States come from Iowa, we're the number one producer of it, and you can't sell your meat in California because they're 10% of the population, so it's a big market for us. It's something that Congress ought to intervene and get passed so that we can market there, and California can't interfere with interstate commerce.
Okay. Yeah, boy, this is something that I know is weighing heavily on everybody's mind, trying to figure out exactly how that Prop 12 is going to play out. Last week, it was unique to see you testify at the House Ag Committee on the cattle market transparency and the pricing issues. Kind of a unique situation, wasn't it?
Well, I think first of all, senators don't go over to testify in the House, and not very many congressmen come to testify right. in the Senate. So I was honored to be able to do that and represent Iowa cattle feeders for not having a fair market, or some days not even having being able to get a market. Yeah. But I think it's a direct result of my outreach to the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee back in June, when I asked for a meeting for him to explain the problems of the cattle feeders in Iowa. And he gave me a whole hour of his time in June. And I felt he was well briefed, but he was reading from briefing papers as he asked me questions about it. And he says, well, if I have a hearing, I might ask you to come over and testify. So 4 months later, I got an invitation to come and testify. And I laid out exactly what's wrong with the four major corporations, packing plants, dominating 85% of the market. And when about 85% of that market is dominated by people that either the corporation killing their own cattle, or people that are pre-contracting, there's no room for the spot market. And 60% of the Iowa cattlemen want a spot market. And sometimes you're dictated a price. If you don't take that price, you may not get a market at all. And if you do take that price, you may not be able to market your cattle for 30 days.
Yeah.
So it's a major problem.
I've been asking some of the economists that I talked to about 50-14 about which is the most important number in this, the 50% negotiated in the open market, or the cash market, or the get those animals processed within 14 days. They both kind of work together, don't they?
Yeah, they do work together, but I'll bet when you get a price and you can't deliver for 30 days, I'll bet a lot of farmers would say that 14 day is more important than
the
50%.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's where I stand on this. Is it just brings some dynamics to the cash cattle trade, and I think it's very important. So the 50-14 proposal, what's the status?
Well, Senator Fisher of Nebraska has another bill. We're working out the difference between the two bills, and we're going to have to get together on one final thing, and that would be the minimum percentage that you have, that would be a negotiated price. And there seems to be a difference between Nebraska cattle feeders and Iowa cattle feeders. And we're going to have to reach an agreement on that, because she wants to represent Nebraska cattlemen. I want to represent Iowa cattlemen. We've got to get together, or we won't get anything done whatsoever.
Okay. Boy, just a couple of minutes left here. What steps are necessary to fix the chaos, to remove the chaos from the supply chain disruptions that we're seeing?
Well, it isn't just one thing. We're having the longshoremen work 24/7. It's going to take more than that. You're going to have trucks, truck drivers. You're going to have more employees at the warehouses. I applaud the president for doing what he did to get these ships unloaded 24/7, but that's not going to solve the problem. As you get those containers unloaded and get them, you got to get them spread around the country. That's not an easy process.
Okay. I'm going to switch gears on us here again. Is there going to be a vote in the Senate this week on U.S. election laws?
I think that they're going to try to get a vote up, but I don't think they'll get it done, because first of all, the Constitution says state legislatures are going to determine the manner of elections. Now, Congress can step in and overrule that, but for 240 years, state election laws have been the pattern for the whole nation. In other words, 50 different states, 50 different ways of having elections. The only uniformity is the Civil Rights Act that guarantees that you can't discriminate based on race. There's uniform 18-year voting instead of 21-year where it was one time, and having the national elections on the same day. Otherwise, it's pretty much up to the individual state. Now, they want
Senator
to overrule
Grassley,
that.
We're out of time. I'm so sorry, but thank you so much for your time.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beach, kind of a go-nowhere start to the day, but we're starting to gain some traction in corn and soybeans.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of price strength. You know, I don't think it's anything too significant, but, you know, we are building on those late-week corrective gains that we saw last week, especially in the soybean market. Soy oil is trying to lead the way there and performing pretty nicely. The meal market's a little bit weaker here mid-morning, so that's holding back buyer interest just a little bit. But, you know, it's relatively quiet, like you mentioned.
Okay, mixed trade in the wheat, that's not doing anything to help out the corn market either, is it?
No, they're trying to poke to the upside. HRW contracts are trying to lead us, but spring wheat futures are down. Now, keep in mind, last week we had the spring wheat market leading us up with rounds of contract highs on a nearly daily basis. And so just seeing some spreading action unfold there in that market versus last week.
All right. Dees lean hogs caught a bid at 77.5 again today. That's encouraging.
Yeah, it looked like they were going to try and fill that gap again from September 27th just hanging there, kind of hanging just above last week's lows, which were just above that September 27th gap. Just hanging on at the moment and trying to work to the upside. We'll see, a good strong finish, not only today, but for the week is probably needed to secure a short-term low.
Yeah. And that little bit of gain in the corn is weighing heavily on feeders.
Yeah, definitely. Feeders are reacting there, and that's helping to pull down live cattle futures. So we got a long way to head until cash cattle trade for the week.
All right. Thank you, Brian. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
On your farm, achieving better yields is always the goal. But replacing current equipment with new isn't always an option. Bring new life and new technology to your current equipment with a John Deere Performance Upgrade Kit. It all starts at your local John Deere dealer. Schedule an inspection today to see how a customizable performance upgrade kit from John Deere can unlock the potential of your existing equipment. Search John Deere Performance Upgrade Kit to learn more.
Hey.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
When she repeats, got a lawnmower, drives itself now, mama.
What do you bet? What do you bet Greg's got a lawnmower that drives itself?
It's probably got GPS on it and everything.
I bet it does with
latest
the satellites. Up to outer space.
Yeah. Yeah, he just sits. He sits in and watches the Vikings win another football game, barely, and watches the lawnmower make the rounds out in the yard. Yeah,
like a
is that how it goes, Greg?
Actually, two houses down from us does have a lawn Roomba. I don't know what they're called, but the chatter on the neighborhood is that it doesn't do as good a job as. An actual live person. So I think they're changing from the lawn Roomba to some other method of mowing the grass. And no, I do not have a Roomba. Humans.
Score one for the humans.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, good. Well, at least we can still cut the grass better than a robot.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the Roomba became self-aware and just wasn't that into it.
All right. Yeah, the robot's got no pride of work. How you doing, Greg? Everything okay?
Hey, yeah, doing well, guys. How you doing?
Good, good, good. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. Okay, let's get to it. What you got for the pick of the week?
Pick of the week. We're going east. Very nice auction. Folks maybe saw on Facebook and Twitter I posted about it, but it was in very eastern edge of New York on Saturday. It was by RTI Auctions. It was a lifetime collector auction for Don and Betty Duksa. Mostly green equipment back in the 50s, early 60s. So kind of interesting to see how those tractor values are holding up. But the pick of the week was the highest seller on that auction was a really sharp John Deere 730 diesel, $15,250. Just to give you a few other prices, they had a 1960 John Deere 330. Of course, we don't see quite as many 330s. That was a wide front. That brought $14,000. They had a 1959 John Deere 830 diesel for $12,500. And then kind of interesting on the topic of lawnmowers, they had four John Deere patio series, which I think we've talked about these before. They're kind of the model 110 or 12s from like, I think, 69 and 70. Yep. They kind of came out with them, supposedly marketing them at the time for you know, women, appealing to them. So they came in four colors, yellow, orange, red, or blue. And they just flopped terribly when they came out. But now, of course, you know, they're kitschy and they're collector items. So anyway, they had a whole set. The yellow one brought $2,600 and had a snowblower with it. And the orange, red, and blue went for $1,700 each. So, yeah, kind of fun. They're out in New York. And that sale,
I sure hope it was one buyer. Keep them together.
Oh, well, I don't know the answer to that question, but you're right. I hope the same thing. Take you forever to assemble all four and, keep them together for sure.
Yeah, too cool. Too cool. Okay, we have been tracking what's going on with the machinery prices on a weekly basis. We've documented very clearly that the trend is up on the pieces of equipment that are going to go straight from the auction back into the field. And now, Greg, we've got a strike at John Deere here in the U.S., mm-hmm. and CNH in Europe.
Yeah. I tell you, it's I wrote a blog last Thursday afternoon. I kind of absorbed the news. I think it was Thursday the strike announcement mm-hmm. came out. And then I read in my email box, I got a note from CNH that they had, kind of temporarily closing. I think it was, they said several, they didn't say how many, but ag-related production plants throughout Europe. And they just specifically said it's totally supply chain issues. We can't get what we need to make stuff. So I thought about it for a few hours and I just said, well, there's no use other than calling it what this is. Like you say, used values have already been on fire. So I just, and we've talked about it before, we're coming up on November and December when they go up anyway. Right. And now you lump these in and we're starting to hear anecdotal things. I posted a question on our Facebook page last week. Maybe people saw it, but I said, hey, folks, what are you hearing on lead time for new equipment deliveries you bought or you were pricing? And also, what are you hearing about parts availability? And it was like the floodgates just opened. People commenting on, well, let me tell you, here's my situation. And, you know, it is eye-opening. So I included those responses in that blog I posted last Thursday. And you just swirl this whole thing together. There's just no way around it. Used values on good equipment are just going to keep going up. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a hard time arguing that. That is for sure. Lazy Boy. Lazy Boy recliners. A good friend of mine ordered one mm-hmm. on Mother's Day weekend this year. And he was told last week that he's not getting it until January, if he gets it then.
Well, I'll chime in as long as we're talking furniture. Oddly, this is funny because I don't like shopping. I really don't. But furniture shopping, for some reason, I don't know why, but I sort of enjoy
okay.
it. Kind of find it semi-relaxing. I don't know why. But anyway, we bought a new sofa last winter. And it was funny because it was right when I was starting to say, folks, on the equipment side, if you need something new or used, just buy it. So we bought the sofa and we had to wait 6 months. Now that was, 7 months ago.
Yeah.
My wife's sister just went furniture shopping, there's a great little place called Drury's down in Fountain, Minnesota, little town, Southeast Minnesota. She walks in and they start looking around. They go, oh, that's a nice looking couch. And they go, oh, you can't buy that. Actually, you can't buy anything off the floor because we need stuff to have to show people. You can order it, and then, like you say, it might be a year. So the whole thing is just messed up right now.
Yeah, and it's happening with appliances too. Unless you want to step back and buy something out of 1954.
So this created quite a buzz. It sold Saturday in a little Isle, Minnesota. I was going through this sale price list, a couple items. And I look, and there's an International Harvester refrigerator, a stand-up vertical, and it brought $300. So I posted on our Facebook page and Twitter, and I go, hey, folks, $300. Now, what I found interesting was the comment on the sale listing. It said, bought new in 1954, still running.
Yeah.
Which that is anytime I see these old International freezers and fridges, they never quit.
Yeah.
And so $300, and that post unleashed a whole nother torrent of people saying, oh my God, I bought a washing machine or a dishwasher and blah, paid a ton of money and it quit. So interesting days we live in.
Oh, it certainly is. Certainly is. Okay. Let's go back to the collectors and some collector cars. What do you got?
Well, our friends at Sullivan Auctioneers today and tomorrow, a 2-day no reserve collector car auction. I think today they got over 200. So check out
reserve.
No reserve. These babies are going home with the highest bidders. And by the way, the bidding activity was blistering. I looked last night. There were 4 Broncos on the sale. I sort of love these early SUVs or whatever, the Broncos and the Jimmys, Blazers. So anyway, they had one of them was up to 42,000 in 1969, and there was a yellow 1970. It just looked just awesomely odd. But anyway, that was up to like 32 or something. And then they had a 70, a little newer, a 79 Bronco Ranger XLT that was 26 1/4. So if you're into the collector cars and vehicles, folks, hop over at Sullivan Auctioneers right now. Sales going on, and then tomorrow they've got over 500 memorabilia items. So really cool to follow that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun to watch that. Okay, let's talk about the Steffes Group sales.
Yeah, they've got 4 or 5 machinery sales coming up this week. A big one Wednesday, a 4-ring sale, kind of all their Midwest locations. Go to steffesgroup.com, folks. A ton of equipment there. Also, some farm auctions this week. They've got a sale Wednesday also, an estate sale out of Ellsworth, Wisconsin. I think it was for Tom Springett. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing Tom and the family's last name there. But, boy, nice equipment. They got a 2008 John Deere 6430 with a loader, 2,610 hours, one owner. So that's exactly like the red-hot stuff we've been talking about, pre-def, pre-tier 4, one owner, low hours. Also got a Kubota M9960D with a loader, one owner, 1,290 hours. And how about this? If you're looking for a nice skid steer, folks, how about a John Deere 317G with 76 hours, one owner? Oh. Just beautiful. And then also nice hay equipment. Oh, yeah, that one will be hot, I think. And then some nice hay equipment, too. They got a 2011 New Holland 7220 mower conditioner. So check it out, steffesgroup.com, folks. Yep. Nice sales this week.
You know, that's the first time I've said that when you've talked about something that is going to be on an auction. I think that's the first time that I've said that's going to go new price.
Well,
now you think the reason is because of availability.
Totally. Completely. It's exact same as the furniture we just talked about. It's no difference. And it's, it's this echo. So yeah, when you can't even get a new one, and then that just to me, the 32 years I've been doing that, well, this is an unprecedented situation, but what people then want is used, but it has to be the very best used. So, oh, by the way, right. Here's a 317G skid steer with 76 hours on it, one owner. It's like new.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it probably will go for more than the guy paid for it.
Right, right. Wow. All right, Greg. Hey, buddy, thank you so much for the update. You're getting into the busy season. You better rest up, man.
Oh, hey, buckle your seatbelt, folks. Here we go. It's going to be fun.
That's right. Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Okay. When we come back with AgriTalk, Davis and I are going to wrap up the conversation with Senator Grassley and put a little more perspective on the conversation with Greg Peterson.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. So glad you've chosen to begin your week with us. Wow.
Yeah.
Who am I kidding? You guys are up way before me and Chip were. But I don't know. I mean, we get up early, but I feel like there's some time in there that's just sort of lost time for us. It's not like we get up and, you know, go out and
what are you saying?
Or do stuff or anything. Oh, come
oh,
on.
Yeah,
get
no,
real, Florida.
Get up and
get
just
real.
Hang out for a while.
Yeah, did you feed some cattle this morning, did you? Did you go check the hogs?
I did not do that, but how many of those guys read the South China Morning Post?
Fair enough. Fair enough. I guess we're filling our
own. We all do different things.
We're
pegs
filling our own holes. Yes.
That's
yes.
Right.
But I will say there were dudes who smelled like diesel fuel before 7 a.m. And
that's
we appreciate
true.
Those folks. And I hope they're tuned in today. Colin yes. Powell. Colin
yeah.
Powell. April 5th, 1937 through October 18, 2021. Rest in yeah. peace. The first African American Secretary of State.
Yeah.
And held a number of illustrious positions growing out of his military service. But what most interests and excites me, do you know what his bachelor's degree was in? He earned a bachelor's degree from the college, City College of New York. Would you care to guess what he studied?
I could guess, but I don't know.
Geology.
That would excite you.
Yes.
I should have known. I should have
yes.
figured that out.
As an amateur, ham-handed, completely untrained geologist myself, I
right.
really respect those geology degree guys. I had no
nice.
Idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, rest in peace, Colin Powell. Excellent service yeah. to your country. We appreciate that very much.
Yep. Prayers to the family there, boy.
Absolutely. Let's yep. get to the conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. He mm-hmm. He was talking last summer. The chair of the House Ag Committee pulled him into his office, said, listen, I need to pick your brain about this cattle market
yep.
thing. What
yep.
is the deal with this? And it sounds like there were some blanks in
sure.
In the chairman's knowledge base about the cattle market and
yep.
Senator Chuck was more than happy to fill those in and then went and testified at the House.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, Chairman Scott found it informative enough, the meeting with Senator Grassley, that he felt Senator Grassley's knowledge about what's going on in the cattle industry and the domination of the big four packers in the industry needed to be described as Senator Grassley can describe it for the House, for the members of the House Ag Committee. I think that was a brilliant move. Think about it this way. If Senator Grassley and Tester can move the 5014 and Fisher out of Nebraska
mm-hmm.
can move that 5014 concept bill through the Senate Ag Committee, all he did was set it up. He teed it up for passage out of the House Ag Committee too, is what he did by going over there for the to deliver the testimony. On Senator Grassley's part, is a pretty savvy move, I think.
Now, I feel like the concept of the domination, you know, he's talked about this before, about it was 85% of the you know, production comes out of the big four, the domination of the big four in the market, as fractured as opinions may be, as consensus is elusive among cattle producers, I feel like maybe that domination by the big four is probably a rallying cry that they can all gather around, eh?
Well, it's hard to argue facts. Mm-hmm. And when the top four packers are processing 85% of the beef that's coming into the marketplace, there's no disputing that. It's it's how the packers are acting in the market that is being that is the source of the frustration for so many feed yards. There's been a reluctance because, and you know, the economist in me comes out every time I start thinking about this, because if packers were making $50 a head and they had to compete like heck to get the cattle in there, they'd compete for them. But when they're making $800 a head and all they got to do is sit back and wait for the cattle to come to them, then they're going to sit back and wait for the cattle to come to them. It's the conversations that we've had over the past couple of weeks with Dr. Anderson out of Texas A&M University in particular. He was the most willing to go to the solution to this and to this problem is to increase packer capacities, processing capacity. So you got to ask the question, well, if you're making $800 a head, why aren't you trying to kill more? See, and I think that's where the question really lies, is in we've got these retail beef prices that are so high. Packers are making a bunch of money. Retailers are making money on them. Consumers, for the most part, are still consuming beef. Why isn't Cargill or Tyson or National or whoever saying, listen, we need to make more money in this cattle industry, and the only way that we can do that is we're not going to make it per head. We need to increase the number of cattle that we're processing. And they haven't done that. They haven't done that. And that's where the suspicion, I think, is really coming in. If you guys are making that dang much money, why aren't you increasing your ability to make money by increasing your capacity?
But so, at some point, that beef is going to go bad, though. I mean, they do have to balance production, don't they? Or can you, I mean, even in the freezer.
No, well, but we're consuming what's being produced. Our stocks in cold storage are being rotated and consumed and going down, getting smaller. So
I'm doing my part. I know you are too.
Yeah. Well, you darn right I am. I'm going to continue to do my part there too.
Quick little shout out. I'm not going to talk about it, but Travis, thank you for your email. I appreciate your thoughts. I just wanted to say that. I don't know if you're listening or not, but thank you for your email. I appreciated it.
All right. Very good. Hey, we've got a lot of ground that we need to cover this week, and it is we've got it off and running. This afternoon, we're going to talk about all the supply and demand scenarios and maybe what you should be doing about it with Luke Swenson. He's from the Money Farm and Bushel.com. And boy, tomorrow morning, what do we? Oh, yeah. Representative Sam Graves. He's got lots of issues that he wants to discuss. And we'll do that tomorrow right here on AgriTalk.